And let's take a look at the ethical questions. What is Apple's responsibility here? Peter Swire is a professor of law and ethics at the Georgia Institute of Technology. He testified at the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing in July that was titled Going Dark, Encryption Technology and the Balance Between Public Safety and Privacy. He joins us from Atlanta. So, Professor Swire, Peter, start by laying out what people on both sides of the debate say are the ethical questions and responsibilities here.
Sure, Robin, and thanks for having me here. The government side is that it's a security issue, that typically when the government goes and gets a court order and we have probable cause, that people are supposed to cooperate with the warrant. And so this is a normal kind of investigation, and it's about an important investigation. It's about this terrible terrorist kind of activity. The view from the other side is, I think you should call it a security issue, not a privacy issue. The ethical concern is we use phones the way we use laptops. We use them for our banking. We use them for our most important activities in life. And our laptops now routinely can be encrypted by default. And Apple and Google now do phones encrypted by default. And if we break that, then we're breaking the fundamental security of our banking system, of our corporate secrets, of our personal security around all our communications. So it's security versus security. It's national security here versus cybersecurity, which a lot of the government agencies also say is very important.
Well, and personal security. I mean, you mentioned banks and things, but personal security. Now, Maggie Lake, we just heard, asked one of the questions, which is, and who gets to decide? But a court did decide. You know, doesn't a court ruling end those questions that you just raised?
Well, a court ruling can be challenged. If the court says you have to do something that's unconstitutional, then what a company does or an individual does is they fight back and say, hey, judge, we need to appeal this. We don't think this is constitutional. So there's a lot of Fourth Amendment search and seizure kind of issues here. And it's asking the company to build something that hasn't existed before. Basically, as I understand it, it's asking them to build a new feature that would make it easy to brute force, to break open any phone. And that's the point, is that all of our phones then that have passcodes on them, including the corporate phones and the banking phones, all of those would be subject to being broken open. And if you build the operating system so you can break it open in this one case, you're building an operating system that can break it in these other cases. And so you're breaking security really around the world if you give it up in the one case.
Well, and where do you come out on this ethically? We can sort of hear a little bit of in your thoughts there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, I've worked on encryption for a long time and wrote about encryption and globalization in an article 5 years ago where I talked about the least trusted country. When you're trying to figure out whether to build this kind of broken security thing, don't think about the United States. Think about Pakistan or Russia or whoever you least trust, because that's who's going to use it. And the ability to have secure communications, political dissent, religious dissent, that's going to be at issue in all these other countries in the world. If you force Apple to break it here, it will be broken for all those other places, too.
Well, but just so that's where you stand on this. But a question from the other side. You know, that's hard for some people to understand because, in effect, the FBI owns the information that's on the phone. There's no question there. They're just asking Apple for the key. Why can't they just create the software for that key for that one phone and then destroy it?
The point is that when Apple tells the world, which is the way it's going to work here, that it basically opens up its security to a court order, then Apple and every country in the world is subject to the same pressure.
You're talking about a legal precedent.
It's not just a legal precedent. It will be unstoppable pressure from other countries in the world, including dictatorships, to open up the phones in their countries.
But they could do that anyway.
But they haven't, right? And so if the United States wants to be on the side of protecting freedom of speech and also protecting cybersecurity, where we have a huge stake in the cybersecurity of the infrastructure that we rely on, you're breaking cybersecurity when you break phone security. And that's going to apply to everybody who relies on our cyber infrastructure.
Yeah, I'm playing sort of devil's.
Yeah, I understand that.
Because you are taking the side of Apple, as many ethicists are at this point. No, they are. So, as you all know, there are voices on the other side, because this isn't new. This debate over encryption was huge after the attacks in Paris that left 129 dead.
I was in the 1990s. I was in the White House on on the stage the day we announced a changed encryption policy in 1999.
Right. So this is not
new. The recognition then was, if you are going to have broken security for internet communications, it's going to affect us all throughout our infrastructure. And so you build the good security and you take a little bit of a hit on a small amount of devices, and you still can get most of the evidence you need, but you're not breaking cybersecurity everywhere.
Quick question. We just have a few seconds.
Yeah.
Would your opinion be different if they had this phone before the shootings and if they knew that there was information on the phone that could help them stop them?
If you build the software that breaks it, you build the software that breaks it. We don't have a way to avoid that.
Yeah, that's Peter Swire, professor of law and ethics at the Georgia Institute of Technology. His most recent book is The NSA Report, Liberty and Security in a Changing World, saying that he doesn't feel that it's appropriate for Apple to respond to this demand because, as he said, it would then resonate around the world. We'd love your thoughts at hereandnow.org. But meanwhile, Professor Swire, we'll take this up again. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
It's Here and Now.